Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11. This can be found on page 78 of your Bibles. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is Sabbath to your Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor female or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and that's all in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is the word of the Lord.
The 7th of October was a Saturday, the Jewish Sabbath. Hamas attacked on that day, knowing that Israel would be resting, celebrating, and less alert. 8 days ago, it was the Sabbath again. Television news showed a table set for a Shabbat celebration meal. The seats were empty. Instead, there were photographs of the hostages who could not be there. Whatever your opinion of the rights and wrongs in this terrible conflict, we could pause and share a moment of silent prayer, a prayer for everyone caught up in it. On the 30th of August, the Times published a survey of opinion among what it described as frontline Anglican clergy. The banner headline was, Britain isn't a Christian nation anymore, say clergy. I wonder what took them so long to find out. It's 29 years since Parliament enacted a law allowing shops to open on Sunday. Some would say that this was the defining point when England ceased to be Christian. Or maybe it was just a recognition of the way society had already changed. At the time, arguments raged on both sides. A BBC reporter collected them. Sundays with nothing to do and nowhere to go were boring. When the shops were closed, people seemed to be more relaxed. Laws based on religion have no place in a modern democracy. When Tesco began Sunday trading, I snapped up the opportunity to earn double time. And of course, there was Mary Whitehouse and her campaign to keep Sunday special. Do you remember that? Jeff Maughan was our vicar at the time, and I remember asking him if Christchurch should encourage members as a Christian witness to avoid Sunday shopping. His reply, "It is not the policy of the Church of England to dictate what members should do." So there we are. It is for each of us individually to decide what it means to keep a seventh day holy. Who remembers the film Chariots of Fire? It featured Eric Liddell, preacher, missionary, and athlete. He abandoned his chance of an Olympic 100-meter medal by refusing to take part in a selection race on a Sunday. Even so, in the 1924 Olympics, he won gold over 400 meters. Was he right? Did God honor and reward his courageous distinctiveness? I still remember with shame my own Pharisaical refusal to support our son when he wanted to join a Sunday football team. It is for each of us to decide what it means to keep a seventh day holy between ourselves and God. 6 days you should labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Have you ever wondered why seven? We might state the obvious. God worked a six-day cycle, and the seventh he rested. The command mirrors what God did. On the other hand, we might wonder if the creation story reflects a seventh-day rhythm in humanity that is part of our being made in the image of God. In the 12th century, a Jewish rabbi remarked that, religious or not, the vast majority of the world keeps a seven-day week. I guess that was the world he happened to know at the time. In Islam, the question is still debated, and I quote, did the seven-day cycle exist in God before the creation, or was it defined by the act of creation? So the question remains, could it be that the rhythm of life harmonizes with the seven-day cycle, just as our body clocks respond to day and night? In my student days, a fellow undergraduate decided that days and nights were not an efficient subdivision of time for study and work and sleep. He changed his routine to a 16-hour cycle, 8 hours active and 8 hours asleep, regardless of light or darkness. His experiment didn't last. It just didn't work. In 1929, Joseph Stalin redefined the Russian working week. The aim? To keep factories running non-stop and boost industrial output. He decided that work should be continuous, but on any day, four-fifths of the workforce should be working, while one-fifth had the day off, in overlapping five-day cycles. There were two main consequences. First, family disruption, when husbands, wives, and children had different free days. Two, there was no possibility for Christians or Jews or Muslims to have a common day for worship. No doubt Stalin had that in mind as well. The scheme failed. People rebelled, fell sick. Industrial production declined instead of rising, and in 1940, the five-day cycle was abandoned. Our second question follows. I hope you don't mind all these questions. Islam worships on Friday. Jews keep Sabbath on Saturday. Why do Christians have Sunday? In the Genesis story, creation was completed in 6 days, and on the seventh, God rested. How do we know which day is the seventh anyway? Ancient Jewish teaching answers this by pointing to Exodus chapter 16. As the Israelites wandered in the desert, God provided food for them to gather from the ground each morning. They called it manna. On the sixth day after that first discovery, the people were surprised to find twice as much manna as on any of the previous 5 days. Moses warned them to collect double because the next day would be the Sabbath and there would be no manna. Throughout those 40 years of wandering, the Jews had this weekly Sabbath reminder. Since then, they claim, we have continued to keep count and will continue to do so for the rest of time. I see no reason to doubt their record keeping. But why then did Christians change the day to Sunday? The simple answer is, of course, to celebrate the day Jesus rose from the dead. But the story is a little bit more complicated. In AD 321, the Roman Emperor Constantine issued a law compelling all Roman citizens, except farmers, to rest on Sunday. This set the legal precedent for all civil Sunday legislation from that time on. Constantine, we believe, became a Christian under the influence of his mother. What is not often said, and it may not be true, that his background was pagan sun worship, and he rather liked the idea of Sunday. Be that as it may, the church fell into line with the emperor. The Council of Laodicea urged Christians to honor Sunday by abstaining from work on that day. Curiously, the council went even further and, forgive the double negative here, prohibited them from abstaining from work on the Jewish Sabbath. So there we are, an outline of the social and historical scene. Now it's time to look further into what the Bible says and try to understand what God really intended. There are 148 Sabbath references in the Bible. Don't worry, I won't bore you with endless repetition. I'll just pick out a few thought-provoking highlights. Nehemiah 10:31. When foreigners bring merchandise to sell on the Sabbath, we will not buy from them. So, when Judy and I stroll down to the market square on a Sunday afternoon and relax over coffee made by the delightful Bulgarian couple in the Java Cafe, are we desecrating the Sabbath by buying from foreigners? How the Pharisees would love that! Interestingly, the Sabbath seven count extended way beyond a weekly observance. Leviticus 29 prescribes a Sabbath rest for farmland every seventh year. And after seven times 7 years, there is a 50th year of Jubilee with release from all debt. The word Sabbath is not in the creation story. It just says that God rested on day seven and blessed it. Then there's a huge gap. We have no idea if Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph observed a seventh day of rest. The Ten Commandments came much, much later in the wake of God's epic Exodus rescue. For 400 years, the Jews were persecuted exiles in Egypt. Under Pharaoh, they were slaves to industrial production targets. Bricks, make more bricks. Find your own straw, but maintain your production. Unremitting labor, day in, day out. Stress, anxiety, exhaustion, 24/7. If you remember nothing else from this talk, just remember this. In the context of that historic rescue from Egypt, the giving of a Sabbath rest is not an arbitrary edict of an autocratic God. It is the consummate act of loving compassion. From now on, and for always, you are to remember that I released you from 24/7 slavery and gave you rest. Now rest, as I did, on each seventh day. Delight in work well done and finished. It is my gift to you. As a teenager, at a summer scout camp, I went on a Sunday church parade. Marching through ripening wheat fields towards the church, I remember Jesus defending his disciples for picking ears of corn on the Sabbath. So as we walked, I plucked wheat ears, rubbed them in my hands, and ate. Half an hour later, in church, I was doubled over with a horrible pain in my tummy. Joking aside, the punchline of that Bible story was when Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." Jesus knew the heart of God. He knew that Sabbath rest was and is God's gift of loving compassion, designed for our well-being, designed for us to enjoy for God and with God. One last quotation. Exodus 31:13. "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbath. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy." This is far more important to God than getting the calendar day right, far more important than any nitpicking over exactly what to do or not to do. The Pharisees did plenty of that, and Jesus called them hypocrites. Far more important to God is that our regular one day in seven off is, to use God's words, a sign between me and you. In the heart of God, the Sabbath is a commitment to the intimacy of relationship, resting our whole being in the assurance of his love. A sign, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. 2,000 years ago, in the person of Jesus, God crucified gave his life to redeem and forgive us. It is not our own effort that makes us holy. It is God. Our holiness rests in that redemption, that forgiving. And of that, the Sabbath is a sign. Every seventh day, a triple R sign: redemption, relationship, and rest. Shall we put that up on the wall in R&R? A prayer by Pete Grieg of the 24/7 prayer meeting movement. Let's pray. May the day bring Sabbath rest to my heart and my home. May God's image in me be restored. May the gravity of material things be lightened, and the relativity of time be slowed. May I have the grace to embrace my own finite smallness in the arms of God's infinite greatness. May God's word feed me and his spirit lead me into the week and into the life to come. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Amen.